Well, I think you already know that you have. So I'm going to ask you to look at a neighbor and say, I know your eyes work.
I know your eyes work.
Your ears work.
Your ears work.
Your spirit perceives.
Your spirit perceives.
And you do and comprehend. Like Jesus did.
So I'm excited.
To be sitting next to you. Because God
is connecting us together
in a deeper way
than ever before.
Amen?
Amen.
I want to take you to John chapter 5, as if that would be a surprise. I want you to also realize that when you look at the first verse, there's a wake-up call, because Passover was a feast that was supposed to be for God. And it was called the Feast of God back in the Old Testament. But now John is actually witnessing what has transpired. And he says in verse 1, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. So you can have the house of prayer be a feast or a celebration for people. But God had declared Passover to be his feast. So I want to kind of point that out. Verse 2, now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool with which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to be to lie, to the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked, "Do you want to get well?" You know, the man could have responded anything because he had a choice. And there have been situations where I've asked people, do you want to get well? And they'll tell me no. And I had one particular person, was a lady, and she was in a wheelchair. And I knew the Lord had said to me, I will set her free tonight if she wants it. So obviously I asked her. And she says, no. She says, now I have my husband taking care of me like he should have taken care of me all my life. If I come out of this wheelchair, I lose my disability check. And I lose the man to whoever he decides that he's going to look at instead of me. Anybody know what I did? Got a clue what I did?
Went right on by.
Because God will respect your decision. He sees your heart. That woman didn't have the same heart as this man. This man attempted to come in to the water when the angels would kind of stir the waters for healing. And whoever got in first got healed. Well, this lady left the church not healed. Well, she could have said, God doesn't heal. But why couldn't he heal her?
She didn't want it.
She had what she wanted. She already had the healing she wanted. She wasn't focused on God. She wasn't focused on anyone but
herself.
You got it. And I'm not picking on women now, because I've had men do the same thing. So, you know, what I'm trying to make you aware of is, do you want to get well? That question goes to all of us. Verse 7, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred." When the water is stirred, who stirs the water?
The angels
do that. Isn't that cool? So the angels would come, they'd stir the waters. Whoever got in actually got free. Then he gives the reason. "While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." So he's got to what? He's got to struggle and he can't get in there. Then Jesus said to him, pick up your mat and walk. Well, the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." Any critical spirit there? But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk." The man. He didn't say the God. He said the man. So if you and I are men and women, we can do the work that the same Jesus did. Amen? So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." Some people use that as a law. But if he had a self-pity problem that got him invalid to begin with, like the woman in the wheelchair, if she would have said, "I want to be free," God would have delivered her. But she could have gone home and became selfish again and said, "I want my husband to take care of me. I'm tired of doing all this work on my own. I've lost my check. My instant money has now disappeared." How long do you think she would have stayed healed? How long would she have remained healed? Wouldn't have lasted very long, would it? Because her heart is what God looks at. My heart is what he looks at. Okay? Verse 15. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Was that a mistake? Might have been. I'll leave that up to you. But I want you to go to verse 19.
Kim, excuse me, question. Why up above in verse 11 did he just say the man who made me well said to me? And then down in verse 15, he said it was Jesus who had made him well.
Yeah, but he had learned the identity of the man.
Oh, I see, between that and that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because now there was conversation and he identified himself.
Got it.
Okay. So verse 19 is the part that we were talking about earlier. Jesus gave them this answer. "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows himself and shows him all he does." Yes. "To your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these." Now, showing, meaning sight. Visions. There are visions sometimes that give instructions, which I kind of picked on Peggy earlier about those leaves. Okay? I know the vision because I've had many visions over the years. Some don't go away. They stay right there because you've had a vision. And your job is to hold on to that vision because it may have an identity of who you will become down the road. I can tell you that some people who had visions of me in certain situations created a problem for me because it didn't fit my plan for my life. Got it? So, the activity of angels. Exodus 14:19. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud was moved from in front and stood behind them. So angels can move. Amen? Psalms 91 verse 11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Protection, guardian angel, with you all the time. It's up to you. Yes. I had a lady back at the prayer group back in Three Rivers. And we had been teaching on your guardian angel. Her relative in California had a toothache. So she prayed and she said, I'm sending my guardian angel to your need out in California. And I want that angel to do a work and get my friend free. A few hours later, she tumbled and fell. Broke a few areas of her muscles and irritated her body. So the next morning, she went to the Lord and she said, Lord, the guardian angels were supposed to be on the job. He said, yeah, but not when they're in California. Be careful how you pray. So she asked her angel to come back. See, was that the heart of God to send her angel out there?
No.
Was it compassion coming out of her soul, mind, will, and emotions? Yeah. So if you act out of your emotions, that happened. This woman was telling me the absolute truth. And she had the bruises to show me. Okay? So you laugh, but, you know, be careful how you pray. Daniel 6:22. My God sent his angels, and he shut the mouth of the lions with an S. Daniel 6:22. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lion. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. Yeah. You see, what I was sharing with you was some of these scriptures, but now I'm giving you identification so you can quote them for yourself. Acts 12:7. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. If you don't have a light shone in the cell, you will not recognize that angels are angels of light because they're on the kingdom side of the equation. And you know, if you are in a cell in some kind of a dungeon situation and it's pitch black, and a light shows up, are you going to pay attention? I'm not talking about a candle. I'm talking about a light. I can tell you that John Paul Jackson was in England. And the lights entered the room. The lights in the room were dulled or lowered. And they took a video of it. And you can see all the lights all around the room, and they dance to the music. Are you ready for that? You'd go home and the church might be full the next time we open up. But they'd be full for the wrong reason. Are you catching on to what I'm... Oh, we're going to go see the lights in Chicopee! Any clue why he hasn't said the lights? Because we're so emotional. I'm not being nice now. Calm down, Kim. What I'm saying to you, the light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. So can they be felt? Ah! If I'm sound asleep and somebody pokes me, well, yeah, wake up. Mm-hmm. Have you ever left your body? Yeah, I have too. Somebody had prophesied. Kim, you're going on a journey. You're going to remember nothing of the journey except when you return. It's not the prophecy I wanted. Yeah, K-Pelegit. Under the anointing. She was so gone, she could barely stand up, and here she gives me all this stuff, right? About 2 weeks later, I'm in my bed. I'm sound asleep. And all of a sudden, I'm not in my bed anymore, but my body's in my bed. Yeah. You say, where'd you go? I don't know where I went, but I know I was gone for quite a while. But I know when I came back. Because right in back of my house, maybe from here to Walmart, or less than from here to Walmart, is the Chicopee River. It flows right behind my house. And you know when you're coming in for a landing in an airplane, and you see the trees, and they start, you know, getting bigger and higher, and, you know, you can see the activity. That's exactly what I saw. I saw myself right over the river, and all of a sudden when I got to back of my house, I turned left and went right through the window and into my body. Yeah, cool. Are you jealous? I hope you're jealous. Why am I picking on you? Because I don't want you to come back the way you came. I want you to come back excited about something that God has done for you that you've never tasted before. I heard two or three amens. I should have heard a whole bunch of them. You realize I'm preaching tonight, right? Did you notice it? Okay. Acts 27:23. Acts 27:23. Last night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me. Kind of cool, right? I pray that happens to each of you tonight.
Amen.
Hebrews 1:14. This one, if you don't have it, make sure you write it down because it's the most important scripture that I can give you tonight. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve the people that are in the occult?
No.
No. To serve those who will inherit salvation. Do you qualify?
Yes.
So that scripture is for you. You can claim it. You can declare it. I shared with you about a week and a half ago, my wife was outside. She knew. She says, God, I know, Kim, there was an angel that kept me straight up. My walker fell on the sidewalk, on the driveway, and I would have landed with it if God hadn't had his angel right there to hold me up. And she says, I could feel that he was holding me up. Amen. And by the way, she needs prayer for tomorrow. We're going to the specialist at 8:30 because there's a need. And so we're going to trust God.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But the bottom line that I'm trying to tell you is, we're going to pray before we get there. We're going to ask God to put the angels on the job, and they will go to work for us. And they will open the doors that are right.
Yes. Yes.
Why? Because we're believers. Are we better than the next guy? Absolutely not. But are we privileged? Yes. We will inherit salvation. That's for me. Got it?
Yep.
Lift your hands to the Lord. Close your Bible. I've given you enough ammunition to start a store tonight.
Praise God.
Say, Lord Jesus,
you're in charge tonight.
Don't let me fall asleep
without me being jealous.
I want everything you've prepared for me. I want a smorgasbord
of experiences
of how you care for me.
How you care for my loved ones.
Change me.
Make me hungry for more of you.
Don't let me go to bed.
Until I pray the right prayer.
Poke me.
Push me.
Slap me a little.
Until I get all that you've prepared for me.
If you can wake up Peter in a jail cell. Let those angels wake me up.
I want to be awakened.
I want Sunday morning to be an exciting time.
With great victories.
In Jesus' name I pray. Yeah, say an extra prayer for the pastor. He was stirred up tonight. Okay. Yeah, don't forget. Time for munchies on Sunday morning, amen? Sunday morning, amen? Sunday morning, amen?